You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to Through the Bible. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, has a lot to share with us, so we're going to dive right in. While you grab your Bible and turn it to Ezekiel chapter 3, let's listen to some introductory thoughts that Dr. McGee recorded for the study.
And I'm going to take a few moments to tell you two little stories that are going to illustrate a point. The first story is the story of a clock in the courthouse tower in the New England town. There was that town clock. It would strike loud and clear so that everybody in the town could hear it, and the people depended upon it. They looked at it and they listened to it. And over the years, that was true. Children were brought up on that. But one night, something happened and the clock got slow. It didn't stop. It just wasn't giving the accurate time. And the next morning, men that were hurrying to the station to catch a commuter train to get into New York City found that the train had already gone. They looked up at the clock and they couldn't believe it. The clock was slow. It wasn't giving correct time. And children, later on the way to school, they looked at the clock and they played along the way and they came in late at school. And folk that worked in the little town, they got to work late. And the stores that were to open at a certain time, they opened late. In fact, it affected the entire little town. Well, I think you see the application of that. Over the years, the church was that which gave the spiritual message and the Bible message in this country. And then something happened. Something terrible happened. It began back in the schools. I studied a book in seminary of how liberalism came into New England. It was very slow and subtle. And then these young men went out who'd just been taught that, and they entered the pulpits, and they began to give a message that was not accurate. No wonder that America got in the problem and difficulty that it got into, because the pulpit just wasn't accurate. The pulpit wasn't giving the correct time. Now, the other little story is about a frog that got in a little swimming pool. They wanted to catch it, and they didn't want the frog to jump out, so they began to gradually heat the pool. Every day, they would heat it just about 2 or 3 degrees. Didn't go up all at once, and the frog didn't notice it at first. And finally, the day came when the frog was cooked. You see, it stayed in too long and never did jump out. Now, put the two stories together and you can see why that today that I do have a criticism of the local liberal church and why I believe that the Bible teaching church today, and as I've already indicated, sometimes the church calls itself a Bible church when in reality it's not either teaching the Bible or practicing it in the lives of the members. And that brings the cause of Christ into disrepute, of course. Now, I take that position. I know I'm criticized by many. They say you speak in a pontifical manner. You blow the whistle on the local church. May I say to you that I believe that somebody today should speak out, because when the clock is wrong, somebody ought to set the clock, or at least let people know it's not given the correct time. And also, I feel like that a great many people are just being gradually brought into liberalism today. And just take inventory of yourself. Are you today holding to what you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Are you just like the frog? You are gradually being parboiled, and you don't know it. May I say to you, that's the reason that we speak out when we come to these passages in the Word of God. All right, shall we look to God in prayer? Heavenly Father, bless your Word today as it goes out, and bless those listening in, for we do pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Now open to Ezekiel 3 as we go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, last time we were in the third chapter of Ezekiel, and we're going to move on to the fourth, but there are some tag ends there that I think that I should tie up before we leave. We saw that God called this man to be a watchman to the house of Israel. Now, a watchman was a very important position in the ancient world. And today, I would say they've pretty much gone out of style in many places. At least they function a little differently today. The ancient watchman takes us back to the day of walled cities. And the cities were walled for protection. Wall was put around them. And the gates were closed at dark. And then a watchman ascended the walls to begin the vigil of the long dark night. And with a trained eye, he peered into the impenetrable darkness which surrounded the city. And with a trained ear alert to every noise coming from the outside, he listened for the approach of danger. And as he looked and listened for the approach of an enemy, he waited there on top. And the Word of God has quite a bit to say about the watchman. Over in Isaiah 62:6, I read, "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night." And then again in Psalm 127:1, "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." And in the Hebrew period, the watchman functioned in three watches of the night. That is, they had three shifts, dark until about midnight, and then from midnight till cockcrow, which was probably 2 or 3 o'clock, and then from then till dawn. The watchman in the morning announced the dawn. Now the Romans, they had four watches during the night. Now the practice of having watchmen, that belongs to a backward age and a day that is past. At the dawn of civilization, it was satisfactory, but it's not needed today. But wait just a minute. We are finding out again that we need watchmen and the police patrolling all during the night in our cities today, a watchman. And I personally think they need a little bit more support by the citizen and by the legal profession should stand back of the policeman. Sure, some of them are not what they should be, but it's not the individual. It's the office that they occupy and the very fact that they do protect us during the night. But if our present day continues to become lawless, believe me, they're not going to be able to help us at all. But as we said before, when we were back in Isaiah, the watchman has a responsibility and also a visibility. He is to be able to distinguish the enemy out in the darkness. And therefore, the watchman is the minister. He should give a warning of the danger. And there is that type of a message to be given today. And he has that responsibility. And we've seen that. Now, he says something after that here that is quite interesting. He says in verse 20, this is verse 20 now, chapter 3, "Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, this has been a verse that has been used to show you can fall from grace, which, by the way, is not taught in the Word of God. The only time it's even mentioned is in Galatians, and it hasn't anything to do with salvation, but it's those saved by the grace of God falling down to a legal level and attempting to live by law instead of living by grace. Saved by grace, live by grace is the great teaching, as we've seen before, of Galatians. Now, what you have here is a man living under the time of law, and his life was determined by righteous acts. And therefore, the righteous acts that he might give under normal circumstances might look very good. But here under stress and strain, why, the man might absolutely turn from God, and therefore he is to be judged. That is in no way to construe that he was ever saved, because his life is to be tested at the end of his life, whether he's a child of God or not. But today, you and I are living under grace, and righteousness is just a little different for the child of God. We are constituted righteous today by faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith, and we're told in Romans 4:4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned or counted for righteousness. Now the true believer today may fall into sin, but he will not deliberate practice and live in sin. For he that's born of God doth not practice sin. Now if he falls in sin, a gracious provision is made. We have an advocate with the Father. We can come in confession of our sins. Now you're talking here about a man under law. And the emphasis is not so much on that as it is upon the responsibility of the watchman. He is to warn that man that has turned from good works to living now in a way that conforms to the standard of the enemy. Now, this man, having delivered this message, been told that he is to be a watchman, he is now told in verse 22, "Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee." Now, he's to leave these people. You see, for 7 days, he was overwhelmed as he sat among them and saw how far they had apostatized and had turned from God. Now he's called to leave them. And we find here in verse 23, Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw by the river of Kebar, and I fell on my face. Now, this matter of the glory of God will appear again and again in this book. What is glory, by the way? Several years ago, I got interested in that. What is glory? Well, somebody's going to say it's something you can't see, that it's intangible. Well, you're entirely wrong about that. Glory is something that produces a sensation on the 5 senses that we have, and it's something you can see, therefore. Now, glory has size. How big is glory? Is it long or square or round? How is it? Well, may I say to you, it has size, and the size of it's the infinity of space. Will you listen again to the Word of God? The heavens declare the glory of God. The glory of God is seen in this tremendous universe that you and I live in. Now, glory has a beauty to it. We're told in Scripture, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. Glory is beautiful. My heaven's going to be a beautiful place. How lovely it's going to be. And then it has to do with adornment. We read in Scripture, glorious in his apparel. That was in the Song of Solomon. Glorious in his apparel. That is, he's really dressed up. Lovely in the dress and the garb that is worn. That speaks of glory. And then there's a majesty about glory. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. It's the majesty of God. And it's bright and light, by the way. And it's precious and pure. You remember Daniel said something about, give thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory. And then it also sets forth honor and dignity. The very name of God suggests that, a dignity. That has to do with glory, by the way. Now he sees the glory of the Lord. And he is told, verse 24, then the Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet, spoke with me, and said unto me, go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put cords upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. The average interpretation of that I've heard is that they bind him in order that they could take him out of the house, the enemy. But actually, that is what the enemy wanted to do. But he wanted to stay in the house, and therefore he would not go out, though they bound him. And he says, I'll make thy tongue cling to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and thou shalt be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. Now, instead of speaking a great deal, he's going to act out the parables that God gives him. And this, by the way, is one of them. Goes into his house, locks himself in. Why? To show that God has rejected this rebellious people. Verse 27, now God says, but when I speak unto thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Now, the thing that he's to say is this, thus saith the Lord God. And way back yonder in chapter 2, verse 7, thou shalt speak my words unto them. This man is to give God's word to these people. And that's the only time that he's to speak unto them. He's dumb at other times. He only had the word of God to give to them. Now in chapter 4, we have here a very interesting chapter. He's going to use certain signs. He's going to act out certain parables. And at this time, Jerusalem was not destroyed. And the false prophets were telling the people, you're going to have peace. You are going to have it nice, and you're going to return shortly. Now, Ezekiel's going to confirm the word of Jeremiah. You're not going back. Though Jerusalem is standing, it's going to be destroyed. And someone has said that, it was G.K. Chesterton. He says, this is the age of pacifism, but it's not the age of peace. Through our history, man is engaged in 15,000 wars, and he has signed some 8,000 peace treaties. Yet he's never enjoyed, during over 5,000, about 6,000 years of history, he's only enjoyed 200 to 300 years of true peace. May I say to you, man is a warlike creature, whether he likes it or not. And you remember, Paul wrote the words of the Lord, when they shall say peace, peace, then sudden destruction coming upon him. May I say to you, there's only one Prince of Peace. Now, all that he's doing now is showing these people that Jerusalem is to be destroyed. Now, will you notice what he does here? He picks up now, chapter 4, verse 1, thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. Now, the tile in that day means a brick, and this was the writing material. You'll remember the Babylonians, they used clay bricks to keep their records. Now, Ezekiel is to take one of these bricks. They were about almost square, about 14 by 12 inches. Many of them have been found today. In fact, they've found wagon loads of them, and they have writing on them. Now, the thing that Ezekiel was to do, he was to draw the city of Jerusalem. I don't know just how he did it. And then he was to break this, you see, and show that the city was going to be destroyed. Then he was to take an iron pan here that he was to use also. And in this iron pan, he was to put it between him and this picture of Jerusalem, showing that God had put a wall between himself and the city of Jerusalem, that it was inevitable now, that it could not be stopped. Jerusalem is to be destroyed. What a message that you have here, and I think it's quite a tremendous message. Now, the siege of Jerusalem was portrayed in the tile sign, and then the hardships of divine judgment are in the second one of the pan there, that the people are going through terrible sufferings, and then the third sign describes additional punishments to come upon Jerusalem. And here you have the statement of the defiled bread in verse 9. Take also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and pelt and put them in one vessel. Make bread of it. Well, this man, Ezekiel, was a priest. And he said, well, I've never eaten anything unclean like that. God says, you better go ahead and eat it. It speaks of the famine that was coming to this city at the destruction of it. And yet the false prophets were saying, you're not going to be destroyed. You're going to return back to this city. But the people in it were to be destroyed. Well, will you notice this reveals the horrors that was coming upon Jerusalem. Then you have in chapter 5 here another sign. And this man acts it out. And thou, son of man, take a sharp knife like a barber's razor. Cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard, then take balances to weigh and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city, that is, this little clay tablet. When the day of the siege are fulfilled, thou shalt take a third part, smite it round about, and a third part you'll scatter it, and then he'll take a little of it and he'll bind it up in his skirts. Now, what was the meaning of that? It looks like we've got a commercial here for an electric razor. Only there wasn't an electric razor then. He was to shave his head, his beard. Now, that was unusual for a priest to do, you see. This man's a priest, but now he's to do it. He divides the hair into three parts. And I imagine the people all gathered around. He's shaving outside there, and all the people come around to watch, and he takes one third of the hair. He puts it inside the city. Well, that third are going to be besieged inside the city, and they're going to be burned with fire. That is exactly what happened to them. Another third of them, he is to take it and smite it. He is to really work it over. Well, that will happen to those that live through the siege. And then the other third of to be scattered. And that was the group that scattered out. Jeremiah went with some of them that went down into Egypt. And then there is a small remnant. They're God's people. And that remnant will return to the city. Now, that was the way he got the message over to the people. And he makes it clear here in verse 12 that that's the meaning. Verse 12 now of chapter 5. A third part of these shall die with a pestilence, with famine. Shall they be consumed in the midst of thee? A third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I'll draw out a sword after them. Now, verse 17, the last verse, chapter 5. So will I send upon you famine and evil beasts, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, friends, the judgment that came upon those people at the destruction of Jerusalem and the suffering that this group went through should have been a warning to them. It ought to be to us today, but it's so far removed from us. To begin with, very few people know about it. They are not acquainted with the Word of God. And that, my friend, again causes me to say the greatest sin of Christians today is their ignorance of the Word of God. Now, God gave this to be a warning, not only to those people, but all Scripture is for us, and it has a message for us today. My friend, when the judgment of God begins, it's going to be too late then to make your decision. Today, if you'll hear His voice, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. You talk about the now generation. the now generation are those that have accepted God's salvation and have not postponed it. What a message that we have here in this particular section. All right, we'll pick up next time at chapter 6. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
If we can serve you, call 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. Our travels through Ezekiel continue. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll save you a seat as the Bible bus rolls along through God's entire Word. It's great to be on this journey together.
Jesus made it home, all to be my home. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
Hi, fishing enthusiast. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless.
Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
God, and this is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. We are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. Sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again. We thank the Lord for another opportunity, first of all, to be in the land of the living, to give him all the praise and honor and glory that's due unto him. He is a mighty God, and he's able to do all things. He cannot fail. He woke us up this morning and allowed us to see another day. We thank him so much for it, and we ask his blessings, praise the Lord, to be upon all that tune into the broadcast today, that they will receive the unadulterated word of God, that God's word will penetrate the hearts of those that do not know him and even the ones that know him. We thank the Lord for everything that he is doing. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else. Christ in us is the hope of glory. So I want to pray for those out there in Radio Land today, because I ask that the Holy Spirit, I welcome him in our midst today, that he would bless, touch, heal, and deliver in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we want to talk about the spirit of fear. There's fear that is running rampant, not only in those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, but even Christians. And we as children of God, that and having the spirit of the living God dwelling in us, there should be no fear operating in our lives. Many people today that they're fearful of flying in airplanes, they're fearful of going to sleep at night. They don't know what will take place. But I want to tell you, God has not given us that spirit. And the Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, says that for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Apostle Paul was talking to his spiritual son Timothy, and he's saying that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I want to just say for a moment here that fear is a spirit. And when fear tried to come up upon you to manifest its presence in you, you have the authority to take full control of fear. And I want to bind that spirit in the name of Jesus right now, that it will not put God's people in bondage, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, and that those, Lord, that are bound up by the spirit of fear, we speak to it by the authority of the word of God. Fear, I command you to loose your hold and come out of the people. Come out of their minds right now in the name of Jesus. We are walking with the mind of Christ, and no disturbance should come in our lives. There should be no fear because the Creator of the universe dwells on the inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit.
Yes, it is.
And it'll lay hold on whatever it is and whomever it is that will invite it, should I say,
right.
Will allow it to come into their lives.
Right.
Go ahead, Minister.
And the spirit of fear is not of God.
No, it is not of God.
Because we are supposed to fear God, a reverence fear.
Yes.
But this is a tormenting fear.
Yes.
That comes from the enemy.
Yeah, and it should not be in our lives. And many of us, we allow that spirit, because the Word of God says it's a spirit, and it came from the other camp, came from the enemy. And the enemy tries to get us fear. And what happens is that when he gets ready to do something against the child of God, that's the first thing that he sends is that spirit of fear.
That's right.
And once you are afraid, mm-hmm. or fearful, then you can't think straight.
That's right.
You know?
That's
why the Bible tells us, and Jesus was talking, he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know?
Yes.
So fear is a terrible spirit that tries to discombobulate, confuse, a child of God. Now, there are folks that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They are operating in fear for whatever reason it may be. But we, as children of God, we know that that we should not fear,
right.
Should not be fearful. And the Bible tells us there in St. John, 1 John, let me correct myself, in 1 John 4, in verse 18, it tells us that there is no fear in love. See, if God, who is love, is operating on the inside of you, there should be no fear. So the word tells us, for there is no fear. Let me just say that again. There is no fear in love. In other words, love, I should say, well, there's no fear in God, because God is love. It said, for there is no fear in love, but perfect love, a mature love,
yes.
Person that is operating in maturity of love. Listen, it casts out fear. It casts out fear. It's amazing how the scripture tells us that perfect love.
Yes.
Perfect love casts out fear,
mm-hmm.
because like you said, fear has a torment. It's a tormenting spirit.
Yes, it is.
And it shouldn't be in our lives, but a lot of us as children of God allow this spirit. And every time, hallelujah, every time it try and come into our lives, we should take authority over it. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because it didn't come from God.
Right.
The scripture tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That's the spirit that God has given us, spirit of power, of love, and of a sound or disciplined mind. So when we operate according to the word of God, we can take authority over that spirit in the name of Jesus. Each and every time that fear tried to come, there are folks that are fearful of success.
Yes.
There's all different kinds of reasons why one is fearful.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word of God tells us that we are not to be fearful,
no.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because there is no fear in love.
Right.
And if you're operating in the love of God, there's no fear.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's no fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that... some people say, well, I'm afraid of this. But Jesus says that we're not to be afraid. And I know that it is something that we all say, but we have to believe what the Word of God says. When that type of spirit tries to enter our lives, we are to take authority over it in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because the name of Jesus is above.
Yes, it names above every name.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And as First John's telling us, that there is no fear in love, mm-hmm. because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has a torment.
Yes.
It torments you, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And he that fears has not been made perfect in love.
That's what the word says.
Has mm-hmm. not been made perfect in love. Mm-hmm. And we want to grow in the love of God. We want to believe and trust in what the word of God says to us and not walk in fear. Now, we have to really understand also through a serious qualification here that now there's reverence. There's a difference between a tormenting fear, which comes from the enemy,
Amen.
And reverence.
Yes.
We are to reverence God.
Amen.
We are to.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we are to fear God, mm-hmm. but it's not a tormenting fear.
No.
You know, it's reverence.
Yes.
So God's love casts out fear.
Praise God.
And he that feareth has not been made perfect in love. And we want to operate in the love of God.
Amen. That's
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
And not allow these spirits, because it's all warfare anyway. And
it is warfare.
And it comes to try to disturb our...
Mm-hmm. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that we don't allow it, we should not allow it to come into our lives. But many of us, we do. But we thank God that he's given us his word. And when that spirit tries to come into the soulless part of us, then we ought to tell it to get out.
Amen.
Get out.
Cast it down.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. there's no place for you to be in my life.
That's right.
As a child of God.
Yes, we must speak the word.
Yes, well, yeah. the word has the power.
That's right.
To take authority over mm-hmm. every unclean spirit, every thought that will come into our minds that's not of God.
That's why in James it says, submit to God, that means submit to the word, and the devil will flee.
Well, if you submit to the word, yeah, well, you got to resist.
Resist the devil.
Yeah,
and then he will flee.
He will flee.
Amen.
And
mm-hmm.
once we are resisting him,
mm-hmm.
that's because we submit ourselves unto God, that he will flee. We don't have to worry about that because
Amen.
we have submit ourselves unto God.
That's right.
Now, this spirit, mm-hmm. and that's what we're talking about here
right.
this morning,
mm-hmm.
this spirit is a terrible spirit. And it'll keep you awake at night. It'll keep you from sleeping properly when God has given his children a sweet and peaceful sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants us to have. So our bodies can be rejuvenated for the next day that he pours out his new mercies upon us.
Amen.
So what happens is that it's a terrible spirit.
It is.
And I strongly believe when Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy, because of being a young man, telling him, well, listen, you don't have to be afraid because you're young. You know, God is using you. Let him use you. Let him use you. And we want to walk in that love. We want to walk in the power. We want to walk in that anointing. Now, Minister Glory, I want to look at something else here this morning
yes.
in the book of Hebrew. Because,
yes.
You see, that spirit of fear will put you in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not you per se, but put a person in bondage.
Yes.
And see, and the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with all of that on the cross of Calvary. And we just have to take authority over it, you know, not trying to fight against it, because it's already been dealt with on the cross of Calvary. But what we're doing is we're resisting this spirit.
Yes.
You know, in the name of Jesus, we're resisting it.
Amen.
Because Jesus took everything and he nailed it to his cross.
Yes.
And we thank God for that. Now, I want you to go over to Hebrew, the second chapter, and let's look at what the second chapter in verse 14, and look at what it says here, because Jesus knows what we're going through, and he has dealt with all of this,
mm-hmm.
because a lot children of God were in bondage,
yes,
because of fear.
Amen.
But we don't have to fear.
No.
What we have to do is to believe.
Trust in God.
What the Word of God says.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's what we have to do.
That's so true.
Praise
so true.
God. Mm-hmm. Would you read that 14th
verse? Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil.
So see, Jesus, what he's done for us, he dealt with this type of spirit. You know, he went to Calvary's cross, and he defeated all of everything that would try and come up against us as children of God. Now, he did this because he understood what we were going through,
right.
And that's why the Word says, for as much as we are the children of partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise himself took part in the same, and through death, he destroyed the one that had the power of death, that is the devil.
Amen.
And the devil is the one that tries to keep you afraid.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to bless you.
That's right.
He wants to heal you,
mm-hmm,
through what Jesus has done there on Calvary's cross.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how, and the scripture talks about being in bondage. You want to read the next verse there?
And delivered them who through fear.
Okay, see, now this is what he did. He destroyed the one that had the power of death, that is the devil.
Right.
And through fear. And through fear?
And delivered them who through fear.
And delivered them who through fear was in bondage all their lifetime.
Amen.
See, you shouldn't be in fear.
No.
You should not be in fear. Mm-hmm. We have power over it not because of what we are able to do, but it's because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us.
Amen.
And he did it all on the cross of Calvary.
That's right. Sure he did. Mm-hmm.
You had a verse of scripture that you wanted to read, or you were going to? Well, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Because fear has torment. And Jesus has dealt with. Can you imagine what he went through for us all on the cross of Calvary?
My.
And we were in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
We were in bondage to fear. But because of Jesus and what he has done, that's why our hope and trust has to be in Jesus,
mm-hmm,
not in anything else.
No.
And this spiritual warfare, as Apostle Paul was talking, I mean, all kinds of spirits that are moving about trying to find a place of habitation.
Right.
But the only one that deserves the habitation in our bodies is the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
He is the one. And he lives on the inside of us.
Yes.
Praise God. His Spirit.
Amen.
Holy Spirit. That's why we welcome him.
Yes.
In everything that we're doing, we trust him. Because he's the one that empowers us.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us strength.
Yes.
He comforts us.
Yes.
He's alongside to help us. He does all these wonderful things. And that way, when that spirit comes, you know, I tell you something. That spirit, you know,
mm-hmm,
it's no respecter of persons,
no,
per se.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whoever will open themselves up to allow that spirit to come in to the soulish part of them. Because, first of all, it cannot get in where the Spirit of God resides.
No.
As a child of God, you have the Spirit of God. And the only thing it can do is either bother the emotion of an individual,
true,
or in the mind.
Right.
But then God has given us a remedy for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that tried to come into our mind to disrupt,
yes,
our meditating on what the Word of God says,
yes,
we're to cast it down.
That's what it says.
Would you like to read that?
Casting message? Down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Now, isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
Put that spirit in captivity. In other words, capture that spirit.
Right.
And we're responsible for the thoughts that come in our mind anyway.
We are.
Because it tells us there that every thought,
mm-hmm.
not just one or two thoughts, but every
right.
thought.
Mm-hmm.
And all during the course of the day,
mm-hmm.
There are thoughts that are coming into our mind.
That's true. That's
you know,
true.
They're good thoughts and they're
mm-hmm.
bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not to entertain the negative thoughts. We are to take authority over in the name of Jesus.
And that's why God wants our minds to be transformed.
Yes.
By the renewing of our mind. We must renew our mind according to the word of God, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Well, I tell you, that is true. When we're walking in the love of God, we're actually walking in God, because God is love. And what is happening is that we don't allow anything to come in and disrupt our thinking or our emotions, because, you see, we are a tripartite individual.
Yes, we are.
We're spirit, soul, and body. And where the fight is always going on is between our two ears.
Yes.
In other words, in the mind.
In the mind. Mm-hmm.
And that's why God wants us to
renew
our mind.
Amen.
But to renew our mind according to the word of God,
mm-hmm.
that we are able to do the perfect will of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The mind, I tell you, the mind
is the battlefield.
Yeah, it's the
That's
battlefield.
The battlefield.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to use the mind.
Yes.
And the enemy wants to use the mind. So who you yield your members to, you become a servant of that.
That's right.
Whether it be of sin or of righteousness. So what happens is that this is why we must
mm-hmm.
meditate on the word of God.
Yes.
Not just on Sunday or even with this broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time when we meditate on the word of God all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank God for what the word says. And mm-hmm. when something tries to come into our thinking that's not of God, you've already read that verse of Scripture.
That's right.
Casting. It didn't say cast.
No.
It says casting. So that means that it's a continuous thing that we're to do as a child of God.
Yes.
Is to continue to cast down imagination. You know, imagination is reasoning.
Yes.
The images that were coming to our mind. And what is happening is that these things are trying to, well, not trying, but it exalts itself against the knowledge of God,
mm-hmm.
against God's word.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is that anything that comes in our mind that is against the word of God, we are to put this thing in captivity.
Yes.
We're to capture this spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we can't see these things.
No.
Because it's dealing with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is that as the word of God, we bring it into captivity.
Praise the Lord.
And the scripture tells us every thought.
Every thought.
Does your Bible tell you every thought?
Every thought.
It said every thought unto the obedience of Christ.
Praise God.
The anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that each and every day,
yeah,
we're responsible for the thoughts that come into our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are meditating on the word of God, you know,
yeah,
then the thoughts that are negative, the thoughts that are trying to raise itself up against the word of God,
mm-hmm.
we have the right to take authority over it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, it's a wonderful thing there. And God has given us the remedy so that we are able to walk in his love and to take authority over those things that will come into our mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mind is a powerful thing, you know?
It is.
And what happened is that this is why it has to be protected. It has to be protected according to what God's word says.
That's right.
You remember Apostle Paul was saying that in Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world,
yes,
but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, the way that you were thinking before,
mm-hmm.
and allowing the world to try and form their opinion in your mind and what you should be doing. He said, no, be transformed.
Amen.
By the renewing of your mind.
Exactly.
You know, that word renew means that you are going to renovate your mind,
exactly,
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And all the thinking that you once thought, ways and so forth, you're ripping it up, getting it out of your mind, so that you can put the word of God there.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it's a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I pray for all my faith partners and radio listeners out there that as a child of God, you should be walking according to what the Word says. And giving the Lord Jesus Christ all of the praise and honor. Praise God.
Yes.
Because the God that we serve is a mighty God.
He's a mighty God.
And He's able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us.
Amen.
And why should we fear when we have God with us?
Yes.
Praise God. If God is with us.
Yes.
Praise God. So, before we close out this broadcast, I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she would kindly extend an invitation to all those that are out there. We don't know who's in fear out there, but I want to tell you this much, is that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask her to extend this invitation. So if you're in bondage, the word of God will set you free.
Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a wonderful thing. And I want to tell you, out there in Radio Land, that if you've tuned into this broadcast, you don't have to fear anything. Just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's right there, right where you are, and all the power that's there also. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-wise, and He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. So you don't have to be in a building. You just get on your knees and cry out to God, and He will bless your soul and open up your heart to receive Him. Praise God. Well, we thank you all out there in Radio Land once again, but you don't have to fear. Just trust the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.